KB4VWA.
KN4VWA, KB4CBA mobile. And I'm still traveling, but I'm in, I guess, the outskirts of Greer. I'm on the Old Buncombe Road right now, off of 290.
Trying to set no land speed records now, are we?
It's taking me about an hour to get this far from Maggie Valley.
Well, so how is Marjorie?
Pretty good. It's a roller coaster ride, because one day he's doing good, or, you know, better. The next day, it's like one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. And, I don't know, it's got to be taking a toll on her. She told me last night, she said, I don't know what I'd do if I had to live without a husband. And I said, well, I said, how old were you when y'all got married? She said, she was 40. And I said, well, you did without him for 40 years, I guess. I said, I guess you can do without him again, but. I don't know, it's different when you're married, but anyway.
Yeah. Now, they don't have any kids, do they?
He had two from his first marriage, and a boy and a girl, Bobby and Amy, and they're, of course, they're both grown, and but they've been to see him. One lives in Raleigh, one lives in Wellington. And Amy, she lives in Wellington. She's been flying out, and Bobby's been driving. And he stays, since it's in Nashville, he stays with a friend that he knows in Nashville, so he doesn't have to drive all the way up to Maggie Valley.
Memory. What, has he got COVID or something?
He had double pneumonia. His left leg was swollen and retaining fluid. And, it was just a mess. He also developed VTAC and AFib. And his heart rate was, his blood pressure was high, and just all kinds of problems. He's a diabetic, and he's just got so much running against him, working against him.
I'll say a little prayer for him and for her. So what did you do, go up yesterday and spent the night?
I actually went up Friday night or Friday afternoon after my tennis game, Friday morning, and then I went on up there. So I was up there two nights.
Well, I'm sure Marjorie appreciated the company.
And she's always excited when her brother comes to town. And there's a friend of hers, Debbie, that's doing some disaster relief with the group that's helping Canton and some of those other outlying areas there dig out from the flood. And she's volunteering for that. So she doesn't like the living quarters down there too much. She drives up to Maggie, which isn't very far, and stays with Marjorie at night. So, she has a little company in the evening.
Able to go see him in the hospital?
They allow one person, and it has to, like, she can go several times that day, but it has to be her. It can't be anybody else. It has to be the same person. In other words, if I went, then she couldn't go to see him that day. Only I could see him. It's just a rule they have to, you know, cut down on the COVID thing.
Well, I guess they've got their procedures. Well, hopefully he'll get better. I'll say a prayer for him. Doggone it. Well, so how's everything else otherwise, big boy?
Good. We're just plugging along. And, it was really neat. My cousins, one of my cousins, my daddy's younger brother's daughter, kind of helped me put it in perspective. She opened the baked pie shop in, it's on Long Shoals Road. It's in Arden, and has just been a fantastic success. So they opened another one in Woodfin, and they know Lloyd likes, my brother-in-law likes, pecan pie, so they gave me two bags, big bags, full of slices of pecan pie, individual, those little plastic things, you know, pie-shaped things, and then they gave me some, they gave me four pieces of coconut cream, sugar-free, and, so they just wanted to do that for Lloyd. I thought that was really neat.
Well, so, have you gobbled up all four slices yet?
I should ask. I've got one left. It's right here behind me in the back seat. It has to be refrigerated, so I have it in a refrigerated bag. It's, thermal bag, and you put ice in it. So, it should be okay, and, I ate the other pieces, so what can I say?
Say is you may try to be sugar-free, but you still got that sweet tooth working.
It's sugar-free. They do make some sugar-free and keto stuff, so, you know, and I can eat that, so I indulge myself. They got a chocolate cream sugar-free. Oh, man. And they use a different sweetener than Splenda. It's, I think it starts with an S, but I can't think of the name of it. It's something new. And it is just delicious. They can even make whipped cream out of it. So it's just fabulous.
Well, I'm still at that stage. Give me the sugar.
Can't say. I mean, I miss it, but anyway. Well, I'm in the garage, so I'm going to have to sign off and go inside. My grandchildren are here, so I made the trip. Let's see. What time is it here? Gosh, I made it in about an hour and 18 minutes. That's not bad.
And how many tickets to the policeman's ball did you collect on the way?
KB4CPA, they never could catch me.
You keep telling yourself that, bud. Well, let's go in there and mess with them grandbabies, and I'll talk to you again late soon. KB4CBA, 73 is
KN4BWA,
clear.
On this beautiful day, KN4BWA, KB4CBA, clear.
KN4VWA, W4DJW.
KN4BWA. What's happening, Dave?
I am programming the TBS Team Black Sheep Disco into the Free Sky Radio. I just finished adding all the flight modes, the stabilize, altitude, hold, loiter, auto. Auto means take a trip, follow the waypoints, land, and return to launch. Just got them all programmed in there. I got the 900 megahertz receiver paired up with the 2.4 gigahertz receiver and got them installed. Removed the old 70 centimeter EZ UHF receiver and put this new receiver in there. So I am making good progress on adding a multirotor. Hey, while I was reading it, I went back over to the documentation. I just started reading through the whole documentation. It's been so long, I could admit they could add something that was important that I missed. So I started reading through all of it. And one of the things they did for me was clarify the definition of a multirotor versus a drone. You want to hear their definition?
No, I thought a multirotor and a drone in a generic term was pretty much the same thing, didn't you?
Well, I know a lot of people thought of it that way, and a lot of people just started using the word drone because, I don't know, because that's what the media used, and the media is not very intelligent at all, right? Media is probably the least intelligent people in our society. But I was never comfortable with calling my multirotors drones, even if it's a DJI multirotor. It's a multirotor. That's all it is. What they say at Ardu Pilot, and I've got the Ardu Copter version of Ardu Pilot that I'm going through, is that they're all multirotors to start with in life. And the only time they make the transition from a multirotor to a drone is when autonomics is deployed, not automation. Right, automation is when I punch the auto button and it automatically flies from one waypoint to the next one, taking pictures or doing whatever I wanted to do, and automatically comes back to where I was and landed. That's automatic. That's not autonomic. Autonomic is when it can learn. It makes it comes to a crossroad and it says, do I go left or do I go right? And it picks one, based on its first criteria. And next time it figures out, was that the optimal path, yes or no? And if it comes back no, it says, okay, I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to take the right instead of the left. That's autonomics, right? So unless your multirotor has the capability to learn all by itself, then, which NVIDIA makes hardware that has that capability, or you can design software that can do that, but hardware design goes much faster. So unless it has the ability to learn all on its own, it is a multirotor. When it has the ability to learn like humans do, you can call it a drone. And military has drones.
You know, my first impression of a differential, I thought a multirotor would be first-hand operation, visual, and the difference would have been drone flying VR from a fixed point where you don't see the drone or multirotor. But that's not it at all, is it?
No, that's a totally different concept, right? And that's a valid concept, right? They, instead of calling it virtual reality, it's not virtual, it is real. So they don't call it VR. Instead of calling it virtual reality, they call it FPV, First Person View. Foxtrot, Papa, Victor, First Person View. That means you're sitting at a remote location and you've got some goggles on and it's transmitting a signal to your goggles and that puts you in the pilot seat. So now you're first person, you're the pilot, right? You're sitting in the position of the pilot. It beeped at me. Anyway, I just finished programming all the flight modes and got them to work. I had to do it on a spreadsheet. This stuff is much more complicated than it used to be, but it's much more versatile than it used to be as well. So, yeah, you're right. Virtual reality is something totally different. That's something gamers do with PCs, and that really doesn't exist at all. This really exists. There's really a multirotor out there that's flying around. It's transmitting back to you what it sees. And so you see that in first-person view, if that makes sense. W4DJW.
In 4VW. Yeah, I used VR just as a buzzword for the first person. And you're absolutely right. You used the correct descriptor there. Yeah, that's cool. So when are you going to try this out and where?
So something else I thought about while I was doing this, I went back to the very beginning because, as you know, you helped me out a couple of times, and this thing's been on for hours. Oh, the flight timer beeping. I advanced the throttle and it had it clicking down. So that was a flight timer telling me that time was going by. But it's just sitting here on my desk with no props on it, so it can't fly away. But calibration of the motors, right? So when I got that new battery that I was telling you about, that it broke the new battery and I had to order another one, that was like a $180 battery. At that point, I put new motors on it, because I couldn't get the same motors as the motors that I got 6-8 years ago. So I had to get some new Free Sky motors. And what we were doing out there at the field and how it was kind of jerky and what I was telling you about it being jerky, I never calibrated them. I forgot to do that. That's a step that you have to do, is you've got to calibrate the speed controllers so that they know where zero is and they know where full throttle is. And if you don't do that, if you don't go through that calibration where you teach them what the PWM output is of your transmitter, then they're all at different levels. And they're trying to rev up, and the flight controller is trying to send them a PWM signal to where they need to be. And there, it doesn't know what zero is or full throttle is, so it's jumping like it was, like you saw out there that day. So I figured that out after going back and rereading and saying, oh, yeah, I forgot to do that totally. So once I get all the way through all of the documentation from beginning to end, then I'll go out there and things should be much smoother.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you not just simply write a subroutine for calibration? Every time you power up, it shouldn't take but just a few seconds for it to calibrate. And if you've got that subroutine running in the background, it's going to be exact every time.
So you don't ever want to do a calibration with props on, right? So when you're going to calibrate, because, you know, those are like Genju knives, and they're on a multirotor. There's eight of them. On a quad multirotor, there's eight of them. On a hex, there's 12 of them. So that's kind of dangerous. So you never want to do that, because if one of them were to do something that was unexpected, it could flip and it just cause all kind of havoc. So you take the blades off, and that's a little bit of a hassle to take the blades off. You don't want to do that very often. You take the blades off. And then you have to tell the speed controller you're going to put it in calibration mode. So that's a signal that you send to the speed controller. And what it's doing is when it powers on, it's looking for a PWM signal. Pulse width modulation, it's looking for that signal that is above a certain threshold. And if it is, it says, I know what he's doing, or I know what she's doing. They're going to calibrate. So I'm going to send it a couple of beeps and say, hey, I recognize you're in calibration mode. So what happens is the speed controllers all go, and then you hear them all. And then it gets quiet. And then you bring the throttle all the way back to zero. And then it says, okay, I know what full throttle is. Now I know what idle is on that particular transmitter. And it's different from every transmitter is different than every other transmitter because they have 2,000 steps they can go through. And then they can be off by 5 or 6 steps. And that makes a big difference between two identical transmitters. They can be off by 5 or 6 out of 2,000 steps. So then it comes back and says, with another couple of beeps, says, okay, I'm fully calibrated now. I know what's what. And then they know how to obey the command that's being sent to them because they know where they are. But before that, they don't know where they are.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about the concept of having to run the motors up and down to do that calibration. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't want to do that with props on. How about that? Interesting. Well, listen, if you need help, you know, all you got to do is make a call because I'm back amongst the living. I'm back. Matter of fact, I'm out working today. I'm downtown. So if you hear a little bit of picket fencing, that's what's going on.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know you're feeling better, at least maybe not 100%, but at least sounds like you're between 60 and 80 at least. But I was going to ask you if you had any time to try to look at matching up the fuselage pieces to see if they line up seamlessly or if you haven't gotten around to that yet.
No. Already started the process. I believe I'm going to be just fine. And the front is lining up to the main body of the fuselage at the eight pillars just fine. And, you know, I think I am going to use the spar, the wing spar, the round reinforcement, to kind of pull back. Now, that's one area that I will have to be careful. I'll need to get just a little bit of tension to make up that crack that was across the top of the cabin. So, but it's pulling together just great. So I think I'm going to be able to pull this off. How many degrees usually is it, and to what direction is the engine angled?
You mean like the thrust line versus the center line, the thrust line of the motor versus the center line of the fuselage?
Correct.
So usually it's down and to the right, two degrees down, 2 degrees to the right. That, and it's different for every airplane. It just depends on how the airplane behaves, but it should be somewhere in the plans or somewhere in the user's manual, user's documentation. Because, like, for example, that laser that I got, that laser 230Z, it's a whole lot more than that, but it's an acrobatic airplane. So it's they know you're going to be going full throttle when it's not even moving, but it's in the air, like out of a stall. So they set it up that way to as the best of both worlds, but it doesn't mean all airplanes are that way. Different airplanes, and yours are short coupled, so it's going to have a difference too. I you have to look it up in the documentation to find out what it is. W4DJW.
I can't tell for sure, but you know, once I get the fuselage remade it up to itself, then I'll be able to tell a good bit more. But at this stage, it looks like it's off to the left. But there is absolutely no damage in and around the motor mount or any of that foam up around the front of the engine. That portion of it is fine. I mean, well, anyhow, I cannot detect any damage there. But it looks like it's going in the wrong direction. Oh, well. We'll get it figured out. But in the meantime, if you want to go out and go over to one of the fields and let's try that puppy out and I can be of assistance, call me, man. I'm ready.
I might do that later in the week. I've got to do some... Of course, I've got a lot of time, so I can move faster than I used to. It used to be I could only make progress on the weekends or late at night, and usually by the time I finish working, it's too late, and I was wore out. So now I can make some pretty good progress. I might do that during the week. I've got to get it stable in the backyard, though, first, and because even though it wasn't run through that automatic routine where it does the PID controller calibration, it should have been more stable than it was, but I'm thinking that's because I didn't calibrate those speed controls against those new motors. But we'll find out, and I'll let you know if there's time. It'll probably be later in the week rather than earlier in the week anyway, because Amy's got a couple of honeydews she wants me to do this week as well, and it looks like we're going to be getting rain from Ida maybe as early as tomorrow. Have you heard?
Last reports I heard, starting around noon or 1 o'clock tomorrow, we're supposed to be getting some rain. Nothing real severe. They're saying anywhere from a half to an inch and a half of rain, and we will get a little bit of wind. They are, and it's like a 1 in 5 chance we could get some severe wind, but nothing like any tornadoes from what I understand. And Wednesday is just going to be a rain event, so but it should be clearing up on Thursday, and Friday should be beautiful. So if you get a gap in there, Wednesday I'm going to be tied up until about 3 o'clock, and after 3 o'clock I'll be clear. And Thursday I'm building with my guys on our museum stuff until probably about 2 o'clock. But after 2 o'clock, I'm clear. So any of those two late afternoons, man, if you want to go, let's go.
All right, we'll play it by ear because I've got two things that have to be done outside too, and they can't be done outside if it's raining. One of them, I got to wash Amy's car by hand again every now and then. She's got a white car. You know, white car, if you let it go, if you just run it through the, if you run it through the car wash too many times, it starts looking dingy, and the car wash can't do anything for it. You got to get a big heavy towel and some soap on there and put some elbow grease on it, and then it comes back white again. But so I got to do that. That's going to take a little while to detail her car out. And then the cross on 101 where Jeffrey had his accident is looking pretty rough. I got to take the generator out there and the sander, and sand it all down and paint it, and then we're going to go back and put the letters back on it and do it all. We do that once every 2 or 3 years. And it's probably been 3 years now, so I got to do that this week, too. I'm thinking. I don't know. But if I can get both of those done and our schedules line up, then maybe Thursday or Friday.
Roger. Sounds good to me, man. All right. Well, I have just arrived at my work location. I got to go in there and I got to go do that dirty work again. Make some money. So, anyhow, KN4, VWA. 73's, Dave. I'm clear.
All right, Steve. Be careful out there. Good talking to you. Glad to hear you're feeling better. KN4 VWA, W4 DJ, W clear.